The portrait of the pastor that I want to share with you tonight is evident, I think, already since we have read the words of our text, the verse 15. It is the picture of a shepherd. The strength of the connection between the work of the pastor and the work of the shepherd is seen in the simple fact that they are essentially the same word in Scripture. When you read in the verse 15 the word in our authorized version, pastors, it is the same word that is very commonly translated simply as shepherds in the Old Testament. And in fact, it's exactly the same word as occurs again in the verse 15 translated by the word feed. Here is a shepherd at work, or a pastor at work. You have the same connection over in the New Testament when in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 11, and we'll be looking at that a little later, but there the word pastors appears. It's the only time the English word appears in the New Testament. But on the 17 occasions in which the Greek word appears, it's translated 16 times by the word shepherd. Or shepherds, depending on singular or plural. But it's the same word, essentially. A pastor is, by definition, by the very meaning of the word itself, is to be a shepherd. And here you have just one of the texts in Scripture that deals with the ministry of the pastor and likens it to the work of a shepherd. Now, that shouldn't be a strange thing, that God should select such a picture to illustrate the work of the gospel ministry. You will be familiar that one of the most common pictures in the Word of God, of the people of God, is to describe them as sheep. We have them described as the flock of the Lord, the sheep of Christ. And in various other ways, there is the imagery of the flock used. And it's hardly surprising then that that is also seen in relation to the work of those whom God has raised up to look after the flock, that that picture is continued and they are presented as a shepherd. Now we're going to look at these words and notice, first of all, the duty of the pastor as a shepherd. How is the pastor like a shepherd? Well, the principal thing that is in view here in this word and in the work of the minister as a shepherd is that it is his responsibility and duty to feed the sheep. I have already pointed out to you that the word pastors and the word feed are from a common root. The one a noun, obviously, the other a verb, but sharing the same root form. The pastor, literally, is a feeder. He is one who is to feed the flock of God. Let me just refresh your memory of what the Lord said to Peter, for instance, in John chapter 21. And I'm sure the words are well known to you. In those words in John 21, where the Savior is recommissioning Peter after his fall, after his denial, sending him back to the work of the ministry, back to that work that God had called him to. And in the portion, he is examining Peter, causing him to look into his own heart to see if he really loves the Lord. And you will find in the verse 15 the words, feed my lambs. Verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. That was his work. That was his duty. That was his single calling. There were many things that as an apostle he would be called upon to do. Many topics that he would be called to deal with as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But above and beyond them all, his duty was to feed the sheep of Christ. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. In Acts chapter 20, just over a page or two, in Acts chapter 20 and the verse 28, This time it's the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to the elders in the church in Ephesus. He has a pressing reason to speak to them. Even though he cannot afford the time on this occasion to go to Ephesus, he calls them and summons them to Miletus, where he meets with them. And it's evident that he has some pressing matters to speak to them of. He feels that it will be the last time that he will ever see them. Verse 38 indicates that these elders sorrowed for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. Here is a word then that is a final word from the apostle to these particular men. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's the duty. Now, I've pointed out before now that the office of the minister is simply an extension of the office of the elder. He is the teaching elder. Here is the duty of the gospel minister, as much as it is the duty also of the ruling elders in the church. But it is, in a special sense, the duty of the pastor, the duty of the minister. He is to feed the church of God. This is something that they are to take heed to be careful about. Here is something that they need to be warned about. Here is the one thing that the Lord has called them to. They are to feed the church. In a very special sense, the relationship between a pastor and his people is defined by this term. It is defined by that word, pastor, and its literal sense and meaning. What is the relationship that is to exist between the pastor and the congregation? It is that of the sheep and the shepherd. The pastor is to provide food. He is to be a feeder. He is to be a nourisher of the people. And by clear and obvious inference, their relationship to the pastor is to be as the sheep to the shepherd. He is to feed, they are to eat. There is to be this ongoing relationship where it is the pastor's duty to feed and the sheep's responsibility to eat and to be nourished. That's what this relationship is all about. The provision and the consumption of food. This is the work of the pastor then at its most basic level. Now you will see in our text that in feeding the sheep of God, the pastor is to supply two things. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you. Feed you with knowledge and understand. Here are the two things then. Knowledge, first of all. And here is the work of the pastor. He's feeding the church of God. He's feeding the flock. He's feeding the sheep of Christ. And the first element of that work is to provide them with knowledge. The pastor is to supply information, facts, knowledge that come from divine revelation. As we saw this morning, this is true wisdom. True wisdom, true knowledge is embodied in the Word of God. It is the pastor's duty to supply the knowledge of God from His Word. Here is how He feeds the sheep. This is the food that the sheep of God need. Here is to be their diet. It is to be knowledge. Knowledge as God defines it. Knowledge that is derived from the Word of the Lord itself. For this alone is true knowledge. Nothing else counts as learning or knowledge. And it is the pastor's responsibility to take this Word and to feed it to the flock. You see, it's God's purpose for His sheep that they have knowledge and that they advance in knowledge. That is to be their food. That is to be what they thrive on. That is to be what will produce growth and enlargement in their spiritual lives. God desires you and me to advance in knowledge. That's what our appetite is to be for, the knowledge of God and the knowledge that is supplied in His Word. When you think about it, the obtaining of knowledge, the knowledge of the Lord, is the very essence or the heart of real Christianity. I was thinking of those words in John 17 in the verse 3, where the Lord Jesus gives us a definition of what eternal life is. And you'll remember in chapter 10, He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life. What is eternal life? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. That's what the sheep of God are to have. That's what defines a sheep of God. He is one who has knowledge, who has a thirst for knowledge, who has an appetite for knowledge, who feeds upon knowledge. It's his bread and drink to have and to advance and grow in the knowledge of God. That's what it means to have eternal life. And here you see within this relationship in the Church of Jesus Christ, the pastor as the shepherd is to feed the sheep. They are to eat. They are to ingest and imbibe the knowledge of God. Any kind of a pastorate or ministry that doesn't supply this food is not a pastorate or a ministry after God's own heart. The Lord indicates that it is His will and His purpose for His people to have knowledge, to advance in knowledge. It's the very essence of eternal life. And it is the responsibility and duty of the pastor to set before the people, just as the shepherd set before the sheep, the food that would keep them alive and keep them healthy and keep them strong. This is how the pastor is to act. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we had occasion to dip into this chapter this morning, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to look this time at the verse 12. And in this part of the chapter, the apostle is contrasting the saved with the unsaved, the regenerate with the unregenerate. The godly man is one who has the Spirit of God in him, and he has certain knowledge. This is what distinguishes him from the natural or the unconverted man. The Christian is one who knows something. He knows the Lord. He knows the revelation that God has given. Verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God. If any man is in Christ, that is testified to and evidenced by the indwelling Spirit of the Lord. Here are those who are truly saved. We have received the Spirit of God. That. Why did God save you? Why did God save you? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God saved you. His Spirit dwells within you that you might know certain things, that you might learn, that you might feed and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But let's look again at the verse 12, that we might know the things. Literally, we could even read that as the words that are given to us of God. Because in the context, he is speaking about words. He's speaking about the gospel revelation. The things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. In other words, you have been saved that you might know the words which the Holy Ghost teaches. The words of this book. The words of the revelation of Christ. God has saved you that you might know it. And it is the function of the pastor to feed the people, to feed the sheep of Christ with knowledge. The knowledge that God has revealed in His Word. But then let's come back to our text. And as we have seen, the first element of the pastor's feeding ministry is to feed the sheep with knowledge. But you'll see that there is a second part. Knowledge and understanding or wisdom. There is a development now. A development from knowledge to understanding. You know the difference. You know the difference between the knowledge of facts and being able to understand and use and benefit from those facts. Every school teacher is able to see the difference. It's a marvelous moment whenever the pupil moves from knowledge to understanding, when it's not just so much useless information that they can do nothing with. And there is that move to the point where, yes, we understand it, we grasp it, now we can use it. It becomes practical and beneficial. There's an illustration of what is meant by this in 2 Timothy 3:15, and again I quoted the words this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verse 15, Paul is speaking of young Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There's knowledge. Known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Knowing, progressing to wisdom, progressing to knowledge, progressing to understanding. And the benefit of that knowledge, although that knowledge was first began to be accumulated even as a newborn, the words indicate that even now, as a grown, mature man in the ministry of the gospel, those words are still able to make him wise. They still have that effect in his heart. A progression from mere facts and mere information to understanding, where the word, the letter of the word, grips the heart, and the spirit of the word just grips the soul. And the mind and the will and the understanding is affected by the knowledge. You know that many of the Lord's people are slow to make that progress. And there is, yes, some knowledge, but there's little understanding. There's little ability to take the knowledge and to turn it to practical use and to practical profit. It's a bit, to go back to the natural picture here, it's a bit like the sheep eating and feeding. And then through those marvelous natural processes of digestion and the assimilation of the food into the system, there is a strengthening, a growing, a prospering. Many of God's people, it seems, there's a breakdown somewhere along the line. And the knowledge goes in and they have the facts, they have the information, but they don't assimilate the food into their soul. They don't grow. They don't become strong. There is spiritual sickness and weakness. Oh, that the Lord would take us from the point of knowledge to understanding. But the pastor has a role in that. He is to feed the people with the information, the facts, the letter of the Word of God, that they might grow in knowledge. But he has a duty to apply that Word. He has a duty to explain. He has a duty to impress that Word upon the conscience, upon the heart, upon the mind, at every opportunity, promoting wisdom. Promoting wisdom in the lives of God's people. That's the goal of the pastor. And look at Romans chapter 16, the verse 19. Paul is commending these believers for the reports of their progress in the faith that he has heard about. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. The Christian never reaches a place where he can stand still and think that he has arrived. Your obedience has come abroad to the whole world. Wherever Paul was at this point in time, he had heard reports of how these believers in Rome were obeying the Word of God. What a wonderful thing it was. It encouraged his heart. But yet he wanted more. I would have you wise. I desire, it is my will that you be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. It is the pastor's desire, it must be the thrust of his ministry and of his labors to promote wisdom in the hearts and lives of the sheep of Christ. Colossians chapter 1 is another instance of this. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 9. He's praying now for these believers, and he has heard again a report from Epaphras of their love in the Spirit. Verse 8, verse 9 tells us, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might," notice this, here's his first desire, "that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That's his desire. That's his prayer. He got on his knees before God to pray for this people. They loved the Lord. They walked in the Spirit. But he desired that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. That has to be one of the leading elements of the work of the pastor, to convey the knowledge of the will of God, and then, as God enables him, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that there would be the promotion of wisdom and spiritual understanding. In chapter 3 of the very same epistle, look at the verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." Do you know that there is nothing? Nothing should be done in the name of worship. That's what he's talking about here. Psalms and hymns and songs and the word of God. Nothing should be done in the name of worship but that which promotes the knowledge of God and promotes that heavenly spiritual wisdom in the heart. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is the pastor's work. It's to get the word of Christ richly into the hearts and minds of the sheep. It's to feed them. Here's a rich diet then. Here is the very best of food. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Here is the diet then of God's sheep. Here is the provision, the food that the pastor must supply. When there is a departure from this order, either on the part of the pastor or on the part of the sheep, the pastor doesn't want to feed this kind of food. The sheep don't want to eat it. Wherever there is a departure from God's stated order, then what's the result? God's people become ignorant. That's the opposite of knowledge. They become foolish. That's the opposite of wisdom. And to use the picture, they become like starved sheep. Wherever you find Christians that are ignorant of God, there you have starving sheep. And for one of these two reasons, either A, they are not feeding on the food that is being provided for them in the ministry of God's word, or B, the pastor is not feeding them as he ought, and they're feeding on chaff. Wherever you find ignorant Christians, those are the only two possible things that could be wrong. Many of God's people today are ignorant. They have no knowledge because they sit under a ministry that is unscriptural, where there is not the feeding of the knowledge of God. Many, too, of the Lord's people are ignorant of God, sadly, because even though they have opportunity to feed under a godly ministry, They don't feed. They don't eat. They don't like the diet that is being served up. They'd rather have something else. Where there is a departure from this spiritual menu of the knowledge of God and the wisdom that is imparted by God's Spirit through His Word, you have a starving sheep. You have a people that will be ignorant of God and His ways. Now, while the narrow view of this word pastor here is the picture of the shepherd feeding his sheep, there is another sense in which the word is used and which it is seen in Scripture. The word pastor or feeder also has in it, embodied within its meaning, the significance of a ruler or a keeper. For instance, if you were to turn to the very first use of this word, pastor, feeder, shepherd, you would find it in relation to Abel, where the Scripture says he was a keeper of sheep, a feeder of sheep, a shepherd. But we have it in our version as the keeper of sheep, because that brings out one of the little shades of meaning in the word. There is a sense in which the pastor then is to be a ruler, a keeper of the sheep. You have that again in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 11. He gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some of the people of God pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Here are offices in the church that are authoritative. Here are leading offices in the church. And the pastor is to be one who takes up the position of the shepherd. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd guides the sheep. He has a responsibility to protect the sheep. And we have emphasized that element of the ministry on a number of occasions already. He's to be a watchman. He's to watch for the wolf in sheep's clothing. He is to have the best interests of the sheep at heart. And in leading and guiding and protecting them, he is to exercise oversight in the church. Look at 1 Peter, chapter 5. Or again, the Apostle Peter is speaking to the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, there you have the feeding and the overseeing brought together. They are shepherds, and they are to oversee. That's the work of the elder. He is to rule in the house of God, taking the oversight not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for earthly reward or for monetary gain, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. The pastor is not to be a dictator, but he is to lead by example. When he putteth forth his sheep, we read of the good shepherd, he goeth before them. That was the shepherd's practice. He led the way by example. His example was to be such as to guide the sheep. They were to follow in his footsteps. This is the picture that is set before us in this office, the pastor as a shepherd. It's part of nurturing the flock that there is to be leadership. Part of feeding the sheep of Christ and looking out for the welfare of God's sheep, that there is order, there is leadership, there is a structured government in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is to be oversight. There is to be godly rule and discipline where it is necessary in order for the sheep to progress and to advance. We need to move on and to see that the ministry that is spoken of here in our text is a ministry that is according to God's heart. When a pastor, the minister of the gospel, is like a shepherd and faithfully and diligently feeding the sheep of God, he will be a man after God's own heart. When he feeds his people on the knowledge and understanding of God's word, it is evident from our text that he acts in agreement with and in likeness to the heart of our God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean here when the Lord says, I will give you pastors, they're going to feed you, and when they feed you with knowledge and wisdom, they will be according to mine heart? What does that mean? Well, surely and obviously it means, first of all, that it will be a Christ-like ministry. To be after the heart of God is to be like Christ. To be conformed to the heart of God, surely, is to be like the one who resides in the heart of God, even Christ our Savior. Is he not the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd? These are titles that are given to the Savior. And if the gospel minister is, as a pastor, to be a shepherd, then he must be Christ-like. This ministry that is referred to here, being Christ-like, is a ministry that is closest to the very nature of God himself. The pastor comes closest to being like the Lord when he acts as a shepherd for his people, when he feeds them. That's what it is to be like God, to be like Christ. When there is the serving up by the faithful preacher of God's word, the serving up of knowledge, and the serving up of heavenly understanding and wisdom, there you have one who is like the Lord. Anything else, of course, brings a man into conflict with Christ. He's not like the Savior. He's not like God unless he feeds knowledge and understanding from the Word of God. If he is like Christ, then he'll not be as the hireling that is spoken of in John chapter 10. Whose own the sheep are not. He seeth the wolf coming, and he forsaketh the sheep. He flees. He's not interested in the sheep. He's only interested in the money. He's a hireling. But ah, the good shepherd. And Christ obviously is speaking of himself. And yet, there is to be a sense in which those words are the example or the pattern for those shepherds that follow on under Christ's leadership. We are, the pastor is to be the good shepherd who even, should it be necessary, lays down his life for the sheep. Gives himself, gives his life for the benefit of the sheep of the Lord. In Mark chapter 6 and the verse 34, you have a very powerful picture of the Lord Jesus. A picture to which every pastor should aspire to conform. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In other words, he became a shepherd to them. He began to act as a shepherd for those poor sheep that were shepherdless. And how did he do so? He began to teach them. Out of his own mouth and the knowledge of God and the words of heavenly wisdom, he began to teach them many things. There is a picture of the shepherd and what it means to be a man after God's own heart. But you will, if you think about this phrase again, you will think, I'm sure, that the ministry of the pastor as a shepherd, described here, feeding with knowledge and understanding, is a ministry that expresses and demonstrates the love of God to his people. Here is a ministry after God's own heart. Well, that's an expression that causes us to think of how God loves his people. The heart of God is laid bare toward his people when there is the exercising of a ministry like this. There is the demonstration of the simple fact that God loves his people when the pastor teaches knowledge and understanding. It is one of the greatest signs of God's disfavor and God's displeasure when there is a removing from the people or the nation, a removal of pastors that teach the truth. Psalm 74:9 gives you an instance of this, where the people, under the displeasure of God, are heard to lament this very fact. Psalm 74, the verse 9. We see not our signs. There's no evidence of God's power. There is no more any prophet. Neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. There's an ignorance among the people. There's no faithful prophet. There's no evidence of God's power. These are all the signs of God's displeasure. The one we want to think of, obviously, is the withdrawal of the faithful ministry of God's word. That's the mark of divine displeasure. Again, you have similar truth in Amos chapter 8 and the verse 11. Amos chapter 8, the verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Here's an instance of God's displeasure. There is a withdrawing of the kind of ministry that instructs the people in the words of God. So here you have the two opposites set forth. It is a mark of divine displeasure when there is no faithful ministry of God's word, and it's one of the greatest marks of divine love and pleasure where there is the preaching and teaching of God's word and the feeding of Christ's sheep with knowledge and understanding. That's a mark of God's goodness. It is according to mine heart. It is the revelation of the heart of God that is filled with love toward His people. One of the greatest exhibitions of divine mercy is the faithful preaching of God's word. But then, does it not this phrase suggest something else to us? That this is the kind of ministry that God is best pleased with. This is what He desires. This is the desire, the will of God's heart. This is what pleases God. Here is the kind of ministry that is in agreement with the heart, character, and nature of the Lord. You see, if the pastor would please his master and please his God, then he must feed the sheep of Christ with knowledge and understanding. That and that alone is what pleases God. I have said to you before now as we've gone through these portraits of the pastor, that is what I desire to do, to please God. That ought to be the highest aim of the pastor. Not so much to please man, but to please God. And to have a ministry that is in agreement with the heart of God. And so he must teach knowledge and understanding. Many of the Lord's people today desire something else. They desire a different message. A different kind of preaching, a different kind of teaching. But he who would be a pastor after God's heart must feed with knowledge and understanding. I'm going to leave you with a final thought. It's related to the context. That the enjoyment of this kind of ministry follows spiritual restoration. I can't get into the context in all that it states, but you will see that the portion of the chapter in verse 15 that we have been looking at is obviously related to what has gone before. It begins with the word "and." It follows on from what is said in verse 14 and in the wider context. The words of this chapter relate to the gathering again of Israel and Judah to Jerusalem, and their conversion to the Lord. I pointed out some of those things as we read through the chapter. The verse 19 is perhaps one of the most powerful statements. How shall I put thee among the children, and give thee a pleasant land, and a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? Here's a question. If you like, here's a difficulty. The Lord asks the question, how am I going to bring Israel in among the children of God? How am I going to bring this remnant in to my family? They're strangers, they're ungodly, they're sinners. Well, he answers the question And I said, thou shalt call me my Father. What does that suggest? It indicates that here will be a people that are regenerated. They will become the children of God. They will be converted. They will be saved. They will be gathered to worship the Lord, to praise Him around the feet of the returned Christ. They'll come to the throne of the Lord, which will be in Jerusalem. These are prophetic words. It is at that time that the Lord will give them pastors after His own heart that will feed them with knowledge and understanding. While these words, I believe, are a prophecy for future times, there is a very important principle, however, laid down by this prophetic truth. And it's this, that no sheep can benefit from the ministry of a shepherd until it is part of the flock and unless it remains with the flock. The significance of that is simply this, that where there is the ministry of God's word and a God-honoring pastorate carried out, and the minister of the gospel exercises the ministry of the shepherd, that will only be a benefit to those who forsake the ways of backsliding, those who are in the family of God, those who turn from the ways of the world and give themselves up to the ways of the Lord. You think about it in the natural sense. No sheep could benefit from the care, the love, the attention of the shepherd unless that sheep was in the flock that was looked after by that shepherd and unless that sheep stayed in that flock. It couldn't expect to be fed and to be protected if it was wandering about all over the place. No, it had to stay there with the flock, with the shepherd, submitting itself to the rule, the direction, the teaching, the feeding of the shepherd. And yet you know today that many of the Lord's people think that they can wander about all over the place and still advance and progress as a sheep of Christ. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. What would happen to the sheep that wandered away, went off on its own, and neglected the instructions and the direction and the leadership of the shepherd? Would get lost, perhaps? Injure itself? Particularly in the situation in the land of Israel, the sheep would have been very largely dependent upon the shepherd to lead it to the pastures, or all kinds of dangerous and barren places to be gone through before the pasture could be reached. Many a sheep of the Lord wanders off, absents themselves from the house of God, will not place themselves under the ministry of God's word, and yet they still expect to prosper and to progress spiritually. You know, that's why there are so many sick, lame, weak, starving sheep today, is because they have taken themselves off from the flock. They're not part of a congregation. They're not part of a little group under the ministry of God's word. It's the same all over the world. The same all through Christendom. This is an age in which God's people think that they can neglect the institutions that God has appointed. God has appointed shepherds. He has appointed the preaching and teaching of His word to be the means whereby the sheep will feed and grow. And if the sheep neglect that, then of course there can be no progress and no prosperity. The interesting thing is, too, that there is a marvelous promise given to us here, an encouragement. If we turn to the Lord, if we seek Him and turn from our backslidings and turn from our sin, as God urges Israel here, then He will see to it that there are pastors who are equipped by Him to feed and nourish His people. As we turn from Him, or turn from sin, turn from backsliding, the Lord says, and I will give you pastors according to mine own heart. Where there is a move toward the Lord in repentance and sorrow over sin, the benefits of godly preaching will be felt. God has said, I will supply men to preach. I will supply men who will feed you. Oh, that there were such a turning today. For then we would see that God is a God of His Word. And He would make, equip, call, and send pastors after His own heart. May God give us that grace to seek Him. That you and I, in our respective roles under God and under the rule and authority of Christ, that we be what God calls us to be. I was speaking to Roland about this one day, and he made a little comment that was a sort of a joke, but there was a lot of truth in it. And you will know how Roland can come out with some of these sayings at times. And what he said was this, and I think it's a suitable thing, that a lot of the problems in the Church of Jesus Christ today is that the sheep want to be shepherds. But God hasn't called the sheep to be shepherds. He's called the shepherd to be a shepherd and to live and to work according to His rules. And He has called His people to be sheep. May the Lord help us just to be what God has called us to be and to live to that standard that He has set for each of us in His Word. Let's bow together, please, in prayer.